Proverbs chapter 3, Rick's been teaching Proverbs in Sunday school. We've been talking, going back and forth a lot about, and in fact, this particular text in Proverbs 3. You'll notice in verse 3, the Bible reminds us how to live in this world so as to truly make a difference in other people's lives. Verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Now, maybe you're thinking out there, Pastor Blalock, that's a great text. It's a familiar and it's a wonderful verse to me, but I really don't see how that verse has any kind of a secret or answer for living an impactful life in this world. I would love it if my life made a difference in this world and in people's lives, but I don't see the connection. Well, you'll notice that verse 3 ends with a colon, linking it to the verse that follows. So let's do this. Let's read verse 3 again and then include verse 4. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now, wait a minute. If you find favor and good understanding, both in the sight of God and in the sight of man, what do you suppose you have found? Well, obviously, you have found influence. Obviously, you have found something rare and precious and valuable and powerful. Put it this way. How many people in the course of your lifetime will you meet who will have favor and good understanding both in the sight of God and in the sight of man? How many? I can tell you one person you've all met who fits the description of our text perfectly. Luke 2:52 says, "Jesus increased in favor with God and in favor with man." In other words, the embodiment of what this text described is the life and ministry of our Lord Himself. And yes, of course, you will make a difference in this world if you also find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Who wouldn't? The good news, in fact, the really good news is this. God tells us exactly how and why and what this means. And guess what, beloved? He doesn't just tell us once or twice or here and there in His Word. No, no, no. He tells us this same thing over and over and over again. And then He presents the life of Jesus Himself as Exhibit A, who over and over and over again demonstrated the secret, the answer to a truly miraculous life. Let me tell you something. I don't care how old you are today, or how young you are today. What the Bible teaches in these truths is for you and for you for now. Father, please help us as we open our hearts to Your Word. Please, dear God. We are reminded that human flesh, the weakness that stands behind this pulpit, has no capacity to transmit Your Word, Your truth to hearts of people. But we do know that Your Word does not return void. And I pray that we use this time as we open our hearts and ears to what the Spirit has to say. Please help us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first four words of verse 4, you'll notice, says, "So shalt thou find." In other words, he's saying, if you and I do whatever it says in the verse before this, we too will find favor and good understanding, both in the sight of God and in the sight of man. We will find the same thing, it says in Luke, that Jesus found in the years following His 12th birthday. So let's read it, verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find." Now, lest you think that the quality of mercy and truth is somehow minimal and thus it's underwhelming in your mind right now, I want you to just consider a few things with me. First of all, notice it says, "Do not let mercy and truth forsake you." You know what he's saying? Listen, he's saying, don't let it get away. Mercy and truth are not natural. They will never just bubble up from inside of you because it's natural. No, the text is a caution. Don't let it get away from you. In fact, He says in verse 3, tie it to your neck and engrave it upon your heart. Both your head and your heart. Both, in other words, your mind and your soul must have mercy and the truth together and alongside of you throughout your life. By the way, notice that always God speaks of them as being together. Bind them about your neck. He says, write them together upon the tables of your heart. Not just mercy and not just truth. It's mercy and truth. Just exactly how dominant and powerful is this great teaching? To save some time, I asked Brother Jeff to put some scriptures up on the screen behind me. Precisely because there are far too many mercy and truth texts for us to turn to just this morning. Proverbs 14:22 says, do they not err that devise evil? By the way, I don't like people who devise evil, do you? You know what? People who devise evil give us nations in ruin like Venezuela. And give us horrid abuse like human trafficking. And racial division like Jussie Smollett. Devising evil is destructive and it is harmful. I like people who devise good. You know what people who devise good do? Devising good always includes, the Bible says, mercy and truth. Look at Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You know, beloved, I think it's an obvious point this morning that all of us want iniquity purged from our own lives and the lives of the ones we love. Iniquity destroys people and it destroys society. So, of course, for our children, we want it purged. From our homes and our churches and our schools, of course, we want iniquity purged. But guess what, folks? It doesn't happen with just truth. And it doesn't happen with just mercy. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Proverbs 20:28 says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. 25 years ago, I sent that same text to President Clinton when he was inaugurated president. I did the same thing with the same text with President Bush and President Obama, and more recently with President Trump. It's easy to write or email the White House these days. And of course, I have no idea if he ever read it. You get this sort of automated response. I have no idea if they ever take it to heart, but I know this. Any ruler who rules with just mercy, just so-called compassion or kindness or benevolence or giveaways, isn't really leading or benefiting the nation. And any leader who only rules with truth will find that his throne is not upheld. Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Do you realize, beloved, that mercy and truth belong together? That one does not belong without the other? When Abraham's servant went on that long and impossible journey to find a wife for Isaac, the Bible says that he introduced Abraham to Rebekah by praising God and then saying in Genesis 24 and verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. So important is mercy and truth, beloved, that Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord, not most of the paths of the Lord, not some of the paths of the Lord. All of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalm 57:3 says, God shall send forth his mercy and truth. It comes from his throne. He sends it forth. Psalm 89:14, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Think about that for a moment, beloved. That the very throne and presence and face of God teaches us, reminds us, convicts us that it is always mercy and truth. There are 22 scriptures that use the words mercy and truth, and this is not an accident. And it is not an accident that Jesus is the embodiment of exactly what it says in this same text. And it brings me to three observations. They're very simple, but I hope you'll hear them. And I pray that we'll remember them as we train our children and influence our grandchildren and as it impacts our marriages and our homes and our workplace and our church and our relationships. mercy and truth is how you find favor in understanding both before God and man. And here's why. Three things. Number one, truth without mercy is cruelty. Let me say that again. Truth without mercy is cruelty. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever think about the damage that is done by truth when truth is without mercy? Pastor, I don't believe that truth ever does damage. It's impossible that truth can do damage. Well, tell that to a child who never receives mercy from a parent, but constantly hears truth. It is damaging because it is not a true representation of God. And what people need is a true representation of the true God. Truth without mercy is cruelty. You know, there's a lot of truth in the Bible that condemns you and me. The truth is Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The truth is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the truth. The truth is Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Beloved, the truth is devastating. And that is why I'm so grateful this morning that God did not give me His truth without His mercy. John 1:17 says, the law came by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. I remember when Andy was 6 or 7 years old, he committed the cardinal sin when it came to school in Louise. He lied about cheating on a test. I tried to tell him, Andy, don't ever give all perfect answers. It's going to be too obvious. You know, you got to make mistakes here and there. And so I remember after interrogation, some bamboo shoots under his fingernails, a little waterboarding, phenobarbital, he finally copped up and owned up. He said, I lied. And all the wrath and the brimstone and the indignation. Louise was like Moses coming down from the mountain. And of course, after discipline, Andy was fearful and crying, and he was in pain the whole time. I was outside doing yard work, and so when I walked in, all I saw was wailing and weeping. And I saw Andy over there, and I thought, aw. And before I could go get him, Louise gave me the look like, don't you dare play good cop right now. And I knew why. Because she wasn't finished with him yet. So after I joined in on some of the truth of transgression, then, guess what? Then it was not me. It was his mother who added to her truth a very large portion of love and mercy. So wise and so godly. That's how iniquity is purged. Although he's still lying. He lied about me eating at a gas station last week. I had stomach flu. Cheap lies for cheap laughs. You know, that's what Andy's looking for. Do you know what verse I love in Isaiah? I love Isaiah 57:16. For thus saith the one that inhabiteth eternity, I will not contend forever, nor will I always be wroth. And then he adds, because the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. In other words, if God were all truth, iniquity would never be purged. If God were always and only truth on our behalf, the Bible says, who could stand? And no, beloved, it is not enough to look at people around you and only judge them or only relate to them in measures of truth. It is not enough to see these young people who trip up and make mistakes and do wrong and even sin and only see that through the eyes of truth. It is not enough to look at people at work or in Washington or some cult or some jail cell and to see and approach those people with only the metric of truth. That is not the true image of God. I remember as a boy, we were living in Turkey, and there was this mob of people. We were driving onto the base. We lived off base at the time, and they were surrounding this man and woman, and they were shaming them. And when my mom sort of explained to me what was happening, that they had someone either stolen something or some other crime, even as a boy, seeing that scene, it felt so unseemly and perverse for human beings to be so rabid for so-called justice and judgment. I didn't realize it then, but I would learn later that truth without mercy is cruelty. You know, when the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery in the very act to Jesus, our Lord did not excuse her. He did not ignore her sin. He did not deny the truth at all. With the woman who was at the well, Jesus didn't hide the truth of her sin. In fact, he faced it and had her face it. But do you know why iniquity was purged in both of those cases? Because Jesus was both truth and mercy in both those instances. And it's just a simple reminder this morning, beloved, if you ever have to fire an employee, then you terminate them. If you ever have to discipline a child, then you do it. If you ever have to expel a student or write up a colleague or rebuke a teenager or testify against someone, if you ever have to bind truth and engrave it on your heart, then you do it, and you do it right, and you'll do right. But don't ever do it. Don't ever do any of those things without mercy. When God had looked down on this earth for a home where he would place his only begotten son, when he looked for the earthly mother and father of Jesus, do you know who he chose? Folks, he chose a man named Joseph who was just and righteous. He chose a man of truth. He chose a man who, upon hearing of Mary's pregnancy and therefore apparent infidelity, did not ignore the truth at all. Joseph knew that the truth told him to either put away his wife, betrothed, or have her stoned according to the law. The truth told him that the situation was untenable. God saw that man, but guess what? He also saw that the same man, the Bible says, was minded to put her away privily, so that even in judgment, Joseph wanted to protect his wife and add mercy to his truth. And God said, that's the man. That's the man who has favor and good understanding both in the sight of God and men. Mercy. The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. I never could number them all. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome or the sands of the wave-beaten shore. Truth without mercy is cruelty. The second thing you'll notice, number two, mercy without truth is compromise. Verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, it's interesting that God indicates he wants mercy and truth to affect both the mind and the heart, both our thinking and our feelings, both of them. And you know what, folks? The reason for me is obvious. Mercy and truth, it would seem, have competing loyalties. Mercy comes with love in order to pardon, and truth comes with light in order to punish. So what happens? What happens if mercy comes without truth? What if it's all love and no light? What happens is, beloved, it becomes neither. Then it's not truly love. Mercy without truth is compromise, not compassion. We mentioned earlier Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a beautiful picture. Can I tell you exactly where that happened, actually happened? It happened at Calvary. It happened on the cross to the degree that, you know what? You cannot determine which attribute of God was most on display at the crucifixion. Can you? What was it that day? God's mercy or God's truth? Which was on display at Calvary the most? If you think about it, any Bible student can argue that the greatest display of God's truth in all of history was when he poured out his own wrath on his son. That was righteousness manifest. But one could equally argue that Calvary was the greatest display in history of God's mercy. Because those sins were poured on him for you and for me. He suffered out of mercy. See, people always talk about the cross as a place of mercy, but notice it was also a place of truth, and that's why iniquity was purged there. I love these first-time parents who say, I'm going to nurture my baby with no restrictions, no discipline, no rules, no demands. It's all mercy and no truth. I'm going to love them to be perfect human beings. Of course, what that always means is therefore no influence. I've met these babies out on visitation, and I've noticed they love to repay their mother for all of her pure mercy with the same act, biting them. When they're toddlers, they're monsters. As teenagers, they're insufferable. As young adults, they're fragile snowflakes. As middle agers, they're obnoxious. When they're in old age, they're Bernie Sanders. And others. Mercy, so-called, without truth, is the worst kind of compromise. Paul said, speaking the truth. You know, people love to quote that verse, speaking the truth with love. And they always talk about the love. It says speaking the truth with love. Last week, Andy preached on Micah 6:8 and walking humbly. Do you remember the very first part of that verse? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, that's truth, and to love mercy. All of the requirements of God that will cause you to walk humbly is truth and mercy. It's always mercy and truth, because mercy without truth is compromise. Bill and I were talking yesterday about how fast time flies. And how quickly our lives have been flowing by. And sure enough, last night, Ben and I were driving down I-95, and I saw a billboard that said, celebrate 30 years of the Gardens Mall. And I thought, wow, 30 years. I remember when Louise and I drove by to watch them break ground, and Rude was beginning the landscaping in that place. And I thought when I saw that billboard, it can't be 30 years. You go over there now, that mall looks brand new, which is to say the Gardens Mall has aged a lot better than I have. Amen? You too. Think of all the changes. I mean, just in the Gardens Mall, Burdine's used to be there and Ruby Tuesday used to be there. The Disney store used to be there. The San Francisco Music Box store used to be there. It used to be teal and neon. You think about all the changes just in 30 years. People change. Places change all the time. But you know one thing that hasn't changed at all since they broke ground? Truth. We believe and preach and embrace the same truth today that we did 30 years ago. And that others, our forefathers, did 300 years ago and 3,000 years ago. And I just want to remind you this morning that you and I cannot do any good for anybody in this world unless it involves truth. All the platitudes and fuzzy feelings and hugs, all the so-called mercy in the world will not help others, will not find favor in the sight of God or the sight of man unless it includes truth. Mercy without truth is compromise. Truth without mercy is cruelty. And then obviously, number three and finally, mercy and truth is Christ-like and compassion. You know, we mentioned earlier that there's at least one person you've known in your lifetime who had both mercy and truth and thus favor with God and man. The Bible says as much from the time that Jesus was 12 years of age and upward. It is our Lord, but I can testify that there have been many in my experience in life. From the time that I was saved as a bus kid at 12 years of age, and some fella put his arm around me or the pastor's wife told me she didn't like the girl that I was sitting with, she told me the truth with an unbelievable heart of love. There have been many men and women in my lifetime who influenced me because they were so Christ-like. They did not hide the truth, but neither did they lack the mercy. Oh, Pastor, I know what you're saying, but mercy, I don't know. I'm just brutally honest. No. If you have no love and mercy, then you're just brutal. You're just brutal. It is the definition of being mean. Our Lord was never like that. You know, anytime I'm tempted to lose patience with someone, and it's happened, but anytime I'm just tempted to lose patience with Remo, I mean somebody, anybody. Anytime I'm tempted to come down hard on another, you know what I'm reminded of? I'm reminded that even at the hour of betrayal, after 3.5 years, the disciples still didn't know who the traitor was. Can you imagine for a moment? For years, our Lord never published or uncovered what he knew about Judas. That's mercy. He didn't hide what he knew. He knew everything. And eventually he had, and he did, give him the sop. Almost a last chance of grace. And yet the Bible still says in Matthew 26:50, and Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Wow. Without ever compromising the truth, mercy was still in Jesus' head and heart. Well, Pastor, that's me. I'm just all love and mercy, and I'm the caring kind. Not if you abandon truth. You cannot look at your children and say, "I'm going to love them. I'm just going to love them to God." Not if you abandon the truth. Mercy and truth, he says, bind it around your neck. That's your head. That means it goes everywhere with you, both of them. He says, engrave them upon the tables of your heart so that mercy and truth don't ever leave home without it. And the Bible says you will begin to have understanding, good understanding, and favor both with God and with man. Beloved, 100 times this week, when it comes to people, you'll have an opportunity to be like Jesus or to be like the world. 100 times this week, you'll have an opportunity to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ or even to misrepresent God by not having around your heart and your head both mercy and truth. What will you choose? What will you choose all the days of your life? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, not only for repeating over and over and over again the value and the power and the import of mercy and truth being a part of our lives, but then demonstrating and illustrating for all of us here in the life of Jesus, your Son, exactly how powerful and influential both these divine attributes truly are. May we desire them. May we not let them forsake us. May we bind them and engrave them. And may we exhibit them in all that we say or do so that we truly have a life that influences people for your kingdom and your glory. Bless now the invitation for these who have asked for prayer. Draw them to you, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.